This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Joy Drive with Dean Warren, one of our favourite segments, is the Foster Report. Richard, how are you?
Oh, good afternoon, guys. How are you both doing?
We're getting a bed done for you, but it's going to sound something like that. What's happening in the world of the current affairs on... let's start with the states. What's happening on our state level at the moment?
Well, as you know, it was only last week we were talking about a daily death toll of 41. Which was shocking us miserably just 7 days ago. Now we're talking about 41 cases overall. So isn't it amazing how things change? It was just over 4 weeks ago. We had over 700 cases in a day, now down to 41. So it's now interesting to see how the leaders are shaping up, I guess. Daniel Andrews is out there today trying to take some of the heat out of yesterday's announcement. Disappointing for many, understood as necessary by many, but not pleasing the Prime Minister one bit, who was out there first thing this morning, panning the announcement and saying Victoria just isn't moving quickly enough. I think Mr. Andrews was kind of ready for that, and he started preparing last night by shifting the message a little from not just, this is something we need to do to prevent it lasting any longer. Now it's very much, if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not doing this, you're on the side of the virus, you know. So the messaging has become tougher, and it is fairly and squarely directed at the Prime Minister as much as it is directed at keeping case numbers low.
Yeah. It's interesting to talk about the messaging there, Richard, because I heard a theory last week talking about whether or not using... everybody feels for Dan and everybody feels something about Dan Andrews at the moment, and the messaging is very much he's working really hard. Even if you hate him, he's working hard. He's there every day. He's giving the message. But maybe that messaging in itself is the wrong message. Maybe we need different... We need to mix it up a bit. Maybe just the leader telling you what's going on all the time is not the way to go forward.
It's hard to know. I think it's almost a case of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
it's a damn difficult place to be. Yeah. Look, you wouldn't want to be Dan Andrews at the moment, really, no. Would you? It's an impossible position to be in. But taking that point on board, I suppose if you did just stick to the facts, knowing Daniel Andrews, he's not the type that will leave himself open to unnecessary criticism.
Yes.
And I think that is exactly what it would lead to.
I do like the way that it is based on science and stats rather than, you know, just politics and popularity, the whole roadmap.
It's something that he's stuck to from day one, isn't it? And it's not necessarily something that any other leader has really... when I say any other leader, some other state leaders have borrowed a bit from that. We've seen a bit of that in Western Australia. But we don't see it coming federally. And indeed, I was going to pick up on that because the National Cabinet met last week. And again, that has now shifted as well. It was interesting to listen to the Prime Minister just over the weekend shifting the playing field just a little, or shifting the goalpost just a little. It was a case now of describing... You might remember early on when the National Cabinet was formed, it was regaled as the most efficient decision-making body that the nation had had. Was completely apolitical, not to be interrupted by politics. Well, we always knew that was probably on borrowed time. I don't think anyone took that too seriously. But that said, Scott Morrison did double down on the idea that the National Cabinet was a consensus body, that decisions were being guided by consensus. Well, not anymore. That's only consensus for as long as it's there, and now it's not. So it's easy, though, to deal with if you just want to change the rules a little. You no longer need a consensus to pass a decision, so that should make life a whole lot easier for them.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see also, just aside, I see the PM and the Liberal government are starting to champion the gas-led recovery from COVID-19 at the moment, and also they're saying, I think a draft report was leaked, they're also saying that carbon storage could be an option as well, which for me means is code for coal.
Ah, right. It's interesting that, they say that politics is the art of the possible, and I think to a large extent it is. And it's this old argument that, you know, you might want to try getting a bit of what you get, of what you want, if not all of what you want, rather than end up with none of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I guess, this is what's moving the National Cabinet a little to negotiate some of their decisions without everybody being, as Scott Morrison puts it, on the same bus. And this is leading now to them or individuals in the parliamentary cabinet, not just the national cabinet, to consider all manner of different things you might want to introduce. I liken it to things like, you'd remember the difficulty getting the carbon tax through many years ago.
Yes.
For what was then a Labor government, and the negotiation that had to happen there. And with any significant piece of policy, this is what happens. You rarely get everything you want through. But there were things like agriculture that was cut out of that, which actually bears, you know, no logical sense whatsoever. If you're going to have a carbon tax, agriculture is a key part of it.
Mm.
So notwithstanding the indignity that might have been experienced measuring a cow's methane production, the only other sensible sort of explanation for not having it in is politics, is getting that agreement through, and or indeed not getting any of it at all. I think we're going to see a lot more of that as time wears on, and states need to negotiate with, the Commonwealth need to negotiate with the states over what happens here with the reorganisation of border controls and so on.
So when are we heading back to the chambers to do some sitting time? I think the state's finished and they're not sitting again for a while, but the feds are going to head back, no?
Oh, you might be relieved. Not until the 6th of October, Dee. So you've got a little bit of peace and quiet for the next month or so.
They're going to go in before I get out, I reckon.
Well, or so you might think. It's going to be budget time, though, on the 6th of October, and what a budget that is likely to be. It's going to contain numbers like we have never seen before. I think most people are expecting the worst, and rightly they should. I mean, this is going to be a very difficult budgetary period for the government. When we talk about a budgetary period, it's what they call the forward estimates, and that's essentially the next 3 to 4 years. It's not going to be easy.
I'm more worried about what's going to happen. The journos can't do their budget lockdown, which is kind of the most fun thing to, you know, hear about, is all the journalists get into one room and are locked down with the papers for, what do they get, 24 hours?
Yeah, it's...
And they stay?
Yeah, it's never been a room I'd want to be in, you know.
No, speaking of cow methane production, I don't think it would be great.
Right?
I like how the conversation around the, the state of the economy is being framed as though it's all due to COVID-19, and the majority of it is. But let's not forget that it was sort of coughing and spluttering along before COVID-19 came along.
It's a good point to make, Warren, a powerful point, because in the quarter just before we did hit a COVID-19 economy, so we're talking the quarter leading up to March this year, we had growth of only 0.3%. Now, that's dangerously close to a zero, isn't it?
Dangerous. Yeah, absolutely.
0.3. You know, there's a wafer between 0.3 and zero. I mean, we were heading, or many would argue, we would have been heading towards recession anyway. This has certainly hastened it, though, and there's no denying that the recession that we'll be experiencing now is going to be a lot deeper and a lot longer lived than what it would have been. We're talking about a 7% dive in the economy to
the
June quarter. Like, even in 1991, in our last recession, the worst quarterly decline we saw was 1.3%. Many of us will remember just how devastating the 1991 recession was. We're not talking about 1.3%. We're talking about 7%.
Yeah.
And this, it's enormous.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that the economy was in the toilet, but now somebody's just spewed on it.
No, it's been flushed.
the flushing ain't over either.
That's right.
Like the flush cycle that doesn't end.
Oh, next Monday, let's do it all again.
Yes.
We'll try and find something happier to talk about.
I'll set you that challenge, sir.
I want to see the PM behind a cow's ass with a bag collecting all its methane and measuring it for their climate policy.
Yes, we're only laughing.
Very strange fantasies, Warren.
We're only laughing because we're in here measuring a labradoodle's methane, as you report
along
to
us. Along with D's.
Yeah, that's not true. Thanks,
that
Richard
happy
Foster.
Note, I'll leave you with it.
Thank you, Richard. Bye. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.